Money Movers provides investors with real-time analysis of the stories and the people attracting the attention of markets each day. I'm Carl Quintanilla.
And I'm Sarah Eisen. We'll cover the breaking news and numbers driving stocks and sectors, helping you make critical decisions. Plus, we'll speak with the CEOs, newsmakers, and political leaders playing a role in how your money is moving.
Listen to CNBC's Money Movers free on the Odyssey app.
I think it would have to be the extremist of extreme situations. It would have to be something completely unforeseen. He's not going anywhere. He's not going anywhere this year. He's not going anywhere after this year. In my opinion, they've made a real commitment to this new regime. The Krafts understood that this was going to take time to turn it around. And so they're going to give this regime the time they need to get this thing turned around. And so it doesn't mean he's going to have a job into perpetuity. I think there's a good chance that both Gerard Mayo and Elliott Wolff are back. Boy, I wouldn't put a percentage on it, but again, it would have to be something completely unforeseen for those guys to lose their jobs.
Why are we ruling out something unforeseen based on the way this has gone? That's Phil Perry last night on NBC Sports Boston. Why are we ruling that out?
You can go into the season expecting it to be a rebuild or a turnaround. Robert Kraft, for the first time in years, wasn't talking about playoffs or playoff wins or anything right. like that. But one or two wins is so much worse than just like, hey, a bad year.
Okay, and then how does it look? Are they non-competitive?
Yeah, right.
What's going on off the field? What are players saying in between games?
Already lost an international game.
Yeah, are players pointing the finger at coaches and coaches are pointing the finger right back? And meanwhile, the head coach is throwing his coordinators under the bus. By the way, Alex Van Pelt speaking now or shortly. So if he says anything interesting, we'll be sure to pass it along. And we're going to talk to him tomorrow, we think, here on Jones and Keefe on a Patriots Friday. We get the coordinators every Friday.
Coordinator series.
This is Alex Van Pelt's week. Yeah, so yeah, coordinator series.
Yeah.
So, you know, barring something unprecedented, I feel like we're kind of there, where every week it looks worse and worse. And forget the record. Maybe you could wrap your head around them being 1-6. It's so much worse than anybody thought. We're already angling towards unprecedented. Carrying on yesterday with two more wide receivers on this team. KJ Osborne saying he wants to be traded. And Kayshon Boutte saying he has to ask for targets.
Yeah, because what's the best thing about this team right now, or what's the biggest positive? It's Drake May. And to your point earlier, Elliott Wolff doesn't really get credit for that because it was the third guy and you had the third pick and Caleb Williams was off the board. Jaden Daniels was off the board. You stayed there and took a quarterback. So he doesn't get a lot of credit. Gerard Mayo said Alex Van Pelt's the head coach of the offense. He even said yesterday when he was asked by a reporter, how come you don't coach during the games? He goes, I talk to the defense. So he has nothing to do with the offense.
No.
And so you really have one thing going for you right now. And at this point, it's not even equating to wins at all. So you have Drake May, who the only person that really gets credit for that, I guess, would be Belichick being so bad last year that you ended up with the third pick.
Yeah, I mean, they were
like,
yeah,
nobody currently on the team pick. Can really take credit. Maybe Van Pelt, we were saying, maybe, just because he's the one working with him. He was a quarterback coach and, you know, he's the offensive coordinator. Nobody else is really living in that. So it's not like Gerard Mayo has much to hang his hat on. It's like, yeah, we're 1-6, but there's no answer to that. There's no addition to that.
I mean, look, I'll be honest. I think the one who probably deserves credit for May is ownership. Like, I know that sounds kind of crazy, but like,
force that pick.
Yeah. If Elliott Wolff had his druthers, would he have traded down?
I don't know.
I don't know either, but I don't rule that out. And so I think ownership, and I've said this all along, I think ownership was heavy-handed in wanting to take a quarterback there. And so they took the quarterback that was there. If I'm going to dole out credit for the draft pick, I guess I'll give it to Kraft.
Yeah.
But I don't know. I don't give them a lot of credit for how anything else has gone because they didn't spend any money. They hired Gerard Mayo without an interview process 5 years ago, which is news to Bill Simmons. You see this last night?
Yeah.
Bill Simmons is like, boy, I missed that nationally televised interview with Robert Kraft back in week 3 when he was on the broadcast.
Bring it back up.
Boston sports guy.
Yeah.
Is news to him that the owner came out and said he hired Gerard Mayo or wanted to hire Gerard Mayo 5 years ago on a trip to Israel. But, yeah, I give Kraft plenty of blame. But when it comes to the quarterback, I got to give credit. I'm probably giving most of the credit to
ownership. There's not much else going on.
No.
And that's why just saying you're going to have a rebuilding year, they're all built differently. Are the games close? Are they competitive? Is everybody at least kind of pulling in the same direction? Like, all that stuff is different. Like, the records are one thing, but when you're living it week to week, It can make you change your original thought.
So Phil thinks he's back, and Phil thinks Wolff is back.
I think he's back.
By the way.
I think they're both back too. I can't be as strong in that stance as I was at the beginning of the year.
You're shooketh.
A little bit, yeah.
To use a word.
It's been rough.
Let's get to some phone calls. We'll get back into Patriots and Jets as well. What's changed and what does it mean for the Pats this week? Jack is in Beckett. Go ahead, Jack.
Hey, how's it going?
Good.
Hey, I put this squarely on the shoulders of Robert Kraft. I mean, for me, Mayo had, what, 4 or 5 years of coaching experience before you give him the head coaching job. McVay had like 10 years of coaching experience before he got his head coaching gig. Kyle Shanahan, he was well over 10 years of coaching experience. Plus, his grandfather was GM of the Niners back when they, you know, had a dynasty. So for me, I'm just seeing a lack of accountability and a lack of discipline just by what Mayo is saying in the press conferences. I mean, a good leader always takes ownership first, in my eyes. So yeah, I don't agree with the way Mayo coaches the team, and I put this on the backs of the Kraft family.
Yeah, me too. I mean, so I just said,
they hired him.
Who am I going to give credit for the quarterback? I just said I'll put the blame for the coach on Kraft. However, we do have to give Mayo his share of the blame too. Like, he's the one who steps in it at every turnaround, constantly has to correct himself. Like, the Krafts could have seen that coming if they really knew anything about Mayo, but Mayo deserves his own share of the blame,
you know what
too.
I kind of wonder, like, at what point are we going to get to where, you remember during the Matt Patricia year where he was the offensive coordinator, and I feel like, for the first half of the season, everybody was blaming him for being so bad at it. But then it pivoted to, well, Bill, why did you hire this guy? Why did you put him there? I think it became more of a Bill thing. You stop complaining about Patricia because, like, he kind of is what he is. Is it going to get to that point where you're like, I'm not even mad at Mayo as much as, like, you hired a guy that was not qualified or had no business having the job.
Just dawned on Bill Simmons. So, yeah, maybe it's dawning on others. Yeah.
Like, that's what I'm saying. Like, maybe he shouldn't have been the guy. You famously didn't interview anybody. You went with your gut. So it's not even like you can say, hey, we sat down with 5 or 10 candidates and he was the best candidate. So, you know, you went with a gut prior to him ever coaching anything. He hadn't even coached yet, right? Yeah. They brought him back to coach, put him on the staff, and maybe the thought process was, hey, he'll learn here for a few years. But just because you're on the staff doesn't mean you're going to be a good head coach.
No.
It happens all over the place. In fact, most of the guys that worked with Bill, when given the chance, were really bad at it.
Yeah, when in doubt, don't hire anyone related
to
Bill Belichick.
The Belichick tree is a terrifying thing.
It is. And so that, I would feel strongly about that. Like, you need to get away from the Bill guys and the Bill system and everything else. And they didn't do that. Bob is in Londonderry. Go ahead, Bob.
Hey, guys. Enjoy the show.
Thank you.
And, you know, listening to everybody like the other caller. You know, the Patriots, between the misjudgment, calculations of the ownership, the hiring of a coach that it's obvious he doesn't have a clue what's going on. It wouldn't matter if the score's 30-0 in the first 20 seconds of the game. You look at his face on the sidelines, he's just sitting there with that blank, I don't know. The players absolutely have no accountability on or off the field, and it just seems to go even much deeper. And if you're a Pats fan and you're hunting big game, boy, they're in a lot of trouble, sir. This is going to go from much bad to worse, in my opinion.
It very well could, and it could start with the Jets this week.
Right.
Yeah.
It might be in a lot of trouble.
I don't know.
That's the Mayo face?
Yeah. Just standing there. I mean, yesterday, literally got asked, what is it exactly that you do? That was the question.
Would you consider talking to the players?
Yeah, you ever think about that?
What about coaching? Would you think about coaching during the game? Like, maybe doing some coaching?
Hey, coach.
I talked to the defense.
Hey, blank. I don't know.
I'm on a headset with the coordinators, and I'm constantly flipping back and forth with the coordinators. You don't see that?
Coach, you ever think about, I don't know, coaching?
Honestly, I don't know.
No, not me. Crap, is that part of the job?
Yeah.
I thought I just collected a paycheck.
Do you think he
went on the Greg Hill show every week?
So on Sunday, do you think Mayo is just like, no, I'm going to be who I am. I'm going to stare off into space and do nothing. Or is he going to be like crazy?
Great question.
Running up and down the sideline.
We're going to get
in guys' faces.
We're going to get like a staged Gerard Mayo.
Like the time.
Overcorrection. That's what we're going to get.
Like the time Kobe was mic'd up, rest in peace, Kobe, and he was like rah-rah, like talking to all the guys on the bench. Everyone's like, he doesn't do this. Like, what are you doing? It's because he was mic'd up one game.
Yeah, yeah.
That's what he's doing. He's going to be like,
he ignores us and yells at us.
Drake May is like, why are you talking to me right now?
The broadcast seems like really more you're like standing on the sidelines. Has there been any thought to maybe like engaging more with the players?
Yeah, you ever think about that?
Talk to the players, like coach the players?
Yeah. I don't know.
I don't know.
Is that ever anything you've thought about doing? While we're piling on Mayo.
Yeah.
Nick, you have Belichick from Underdog with his cronies here.
Oh, enough is enough. Like, isn't he now the Simpsons gif stop it? He's already dead.
So this is Bill and Lombardi and, you know, Patricia's chicken wings or something.
Mayo's going to come across as a sympathetic figure soon if everybody just keeps piling on this guy. All right, let's hear it.
It's Jets week, but boy, the Patriots got a lot of questions to answer between the head coach and the atmosphere.
Stop.
And, you know,
wow.
Stop.
A lot of questions, starting with the head coach.
A lot of questions. Not like,
yeah, no.
Oh, boy, you know, Gerard Mayo's working through some things, but he'll figure it out. They got a lot of questions starting with the coach.
How about the coach? Good Lord.
A lot of questions to answer between the head coach and the atmosphere and, you know, who's soft and who's not soft and so forth.
Yeah, come on, do your business.
Well, when you ride bicycles in the locker room, I mean, I don't know how you could pretend you're not soft. I mean, everybody gets a bicycle ride. I mean, isn't that what they're there for,
He's so lame. I can't stop for a second. I can't stand Lombardi. He's so obnoxious.
Do you know?
I cannot stand. Oh, because there's a bike? You can't be tough because you have a bike rider?
Nick said this.
You know how tough Floyd Landis was? He'd kick your ass.
Nick said
Travis
this.
Travis Pastrana.
Don't you think?
Oh, Travis Pastrana for sure.
Travis Pastrana is extreme. Nick made the point. Lombardi's just there to say the things that Bill doesn't quite want to say.
Yeah,
but
Bill's
know,
like, I can't make fun of him riding a bike.
You know they've been mocking that. Like, no. Just because Lombardi chimed in with that, and you know he's just seeking Bill's approval.
He's obnoxious.
You know that Bill has been making little jokes, and he's like, ooh, let me get in there, Bill. Teacher. Do we have homework? Teacher.
He's the guy that had the book, was it Football Genius?
Uh-huh.
Like, come on.
Yeah, yeah.
Like, please.
That's
like, football's so difficult, nobody can understand football, but I can understand football better than anybody can understand football.
Yeah.
Like,
my name's Lombardi.
So bad.
And I work with Bill. Okay.
Were these guys talking about the Pats after week one?
They don't like riding the... No, they were not.
Okay.
No. I didn't hear anything about bike riding after the Cincinnati win. It's funny.
I think they're riding bikes then.
Yeah.
Serious. I mean, everybody gets a bicycle ride. I mean, isn't that what they're there for, right?
Probably to warm up, but I know what you're saying there, Mike.
Well, look, I'm just saying what I saw. It's a kinder, gentler program. I'm not sure that we can you can do that, especially when you have such a young team and their offensive line has really struggled all year. They struggled to pass protect. That was a problem going into the season. It was a problem last year.
Yeah, no doubt. In both lines, honestly.
Right.
You know, the Patriots have had they can't get the same five guys on the field, and then that's been an issue, whether I'm Wayne's playing guard or tackle. Two guys they signed in the offseason aren't even on the team anymore, so that's been a little bit of a musical chairs. And then the same thing with the Jets. It's been it's been a struggle there, too.
Okay. Just so we're clear, Lombardi's the guy who drafted Jamarcus Russell number one overall. I just want to point that out before he started making fun of the bike rides.
Yeah.
Like, make fun of Mayo for all you want, but you're making fun of him because he rides a bike?
I mean, everybody gets a bicycle ride.
Who was riding the bike? Unwenu?
I have no idea.
I think there was a video where they were riding through the locker room, and there's a big deal about this. They put a basketball hoop in there. Bill wouldn't let him have a basketball hoop, and all the players were like, ooh, we got a basketball hoop.
Like,
so Unwenu rides through on a bicycle, and there's a basketball hoop in the background.
So now they can't possibly be tough because of bicycles.
Well, I guarantee you that bothers Bill, but Bill's too sackless
to
say it.
He's not going to say
it. I mean, everybody gets a bicycle ride.
So Lombardi. Oh, Mike Lombardi. Lombardi, you know any your mama jokes?
I mean, everybody gets a bicycle ride.
Okay,
hey,
Lombardi.
No, come on, how dare
chill
you?
Chill out, would you? Like,
what's
come
wrong
on
with you? Talk, keep it to football.
Working blue, Lombardi. Like, how dare you?
Piece
know your
work
mama jokes.
That's not nice. They might as well just start ripping on Mayo's family at this point.
Yeah.
They're destroying this guy.
I do like that Bill's broadening his horizons a little bit, and he's got a little flack for Elliott.
Yeah. Well, I mean, two guys had to replace Bill, so he's ripping both of them.
No,
like, two guys aren't even on the team anymore.
Yeah, I haven't heard him doing a lot of ripping Elliott Wolf. But, yeah.
One kind of excuse he kind of gave him, though, was, like, they can't keep guys healthy, and they've had different offensive lines. That's, like, the one thing that he kind of gave him credit for.
He did.
Everything else is
he went right
like,
back to ripping Elliott, and they got a problem starting with the head coach.
Yes, look at the head coach, the atmosphere there. Who's soft? Who is it?
Well,
not me anymore,
nope.
Jordan.
Hell no.
Not me.
Nope.
Not
617,
my problem.
617-779-7937. A lot has changed for the Patriots and the Jets since the last game, Keith. It's quite a ridiculous list when you think about it.
Yeah.
Jets have fired their head coach.
Right.
They demoted Nathaniel Hackett. They've brought in Devontae Adams. Hassan Reddick sounds like he's going to play. Meanwhile, the Patriots have Drake May out there. Ramondre Stevenson, they didn't even use in the last game. We'll see how much
they use them this game.
We'll see how much they utilize them here.
Yeah.
But it's wild. A lot's changed. Has anything worked to the Patriots' benefit?
Probably not. I mean, David Andrews played in that game. What did they have? Caden Wallace, Michael Jordan. So they've had some different offense. As we know, every game they've had a different offensive line. But that was one where you had David Andrews. You obviously had Jacoby Brissett, who couldn't crack 100 yards passing. This was also the Drake May debut. This is when, remember, he came in at the very end of the game. But this was a mess. This was 24-3 was the final. It didn't feel even that close. This was a beatdown. It's the only game Aaron Rodgers has played well all year.
He looks so good.
I thought, like, oh, man, here we go. Like, it took him two games, but now he's got the, like, nope. Then he fell right back down to earth, which sort of speaks more to the Patriots' defensive issues that were somehow masked against Cincinnati and even Seattle. And then have really just the next five games have been an absolute mess. But, no, if you're giving them Adams and Reddick and you're giving the Patriots Drake May, so that is an improvement.
Yeah.
But then you're taking away David Andrews, like, I don't know. I mean, the Jets have looked really bad almost all season with the exception of the Patriots game. So I don't know if it's something that they're going to be able to do again or are you going to actually get a bad Jets team this week? Because they've got some injuries in their secondary too and, you know, maybe Drake May. Well, I feel much more confident that Drake May can throw on him compared to what Brissett did last time, but no. I mean, obviously the other difference is it's in Foxborough, but still, they're like 7-point dogs,
well,
7.5-point dogs.
It's crazy. It's 7, I think, unless it's moved. And so it's crazy how they just played back in week 3.
I know.
And all these changes have happened, and the Patriots feel further away from the Jets.
I was going to say, a coach on one side and a quarterback on the other side is like a major change.
It
like
is.
To go through either one of those.
And like, remember going into that, I thought they could win that game. I picked them to win that game.
You
coming
thought
off
the next 10.
Yeah, you were really high on
but
at that
I,
point.
But like, they took
wild.
Seattle to overtime. They beat Cincinnati. They started the year good, and the Jets are not good. I mean, I do think I was right about that. The Jets aren't good.
That was the last time they won.
And so I thought that was a winnable game, right?
Jets haven't won since.
So, like, I thought that was a winnable game for a reason. The Jets aren't good. And the Patriots somehow feel further away than where they were there. And we got Drake May on the field. And so that is just a wild, wild change. You like the Patriots at all covering the 7?
No.
Not even covering?
No. Well, I mean, the Jets are...
I don't know.
What are you asking me for? No, I wouldn't take and recover. I probably wouldn't bet. I wouldn't actually bet this one because the Jets are really bad. So it feels like, you know, that's a lot to put on the Jets. Like the Jaguars, I thought was such a lopsided spread, and then they ended up covering that pretty easily.
Yeah.
You know, so
you can't cover against the Jags.
If I had to pick one, I'd take the Jets and say they win, you know, by 10.
But this is there any tangible benefit? And I don't think Mayo did this intentionally, so I'm not like trying to retroactively give him credit. But is there any tangible benefit to calling the team out, saying they're soft, like Mayo is under fire? Like, is there any?
Yeah.
Do they get any response this week?
Well, there's got to be a response probably one way or the other. Don't you think? Like,
yeah, no, it's a blowout or.
Yeah, you eke out a win
yeah.
or you get destroyed.
Yeah.
That's probably.
Eke out a cover.
Yeah, maybe. Yeah.
Eke out a cover. Yeah.
Or you lose
40 to nothing or something like that.
Yeah, do they respond? Do they play for Mayo or do they go the other way? The Jets clearly weren't playing for Saleh, although the new guy hasn't done anything.
If they don't respond?
Yeah. Look out below.
Well, isn't that one of those things where when Phil says we're in unprecedented territory,
yep.
if you don't respond, yep. then that is kind of where we're heading.
Well,
if the team lays down for – if they don't respond to Jarrod Mayo this week, they're never going to do it.
But also –
is there any thought to maybe like engaging more with the players?
But also, it rings really hollow every week if you're like, hey, we got to do better. We got to do better. We got to do this different. It's like, well, okay, you just lost 7 straight games.
Mm-hmm.
Like you just lost 8 straight games. So it's hard to see that you're doing anything better.
No.
You know, and so, yeah, that – I don't know. The Jets are also in a really bad place, but they're just more talented. So that's why I'll take the Jets.
Definitely. Game's at least home, which is, you'd hope, progress. We'll see.
Yeah, I guess.
So look, I think you make a good point. Does Mayo overcorrect and does he have that moment on
the
sideline?
The lunatic running up and down talking to everybody. Like, all right, you're doing too much.
Yeah, way too much. So that's something I would wager on if I could. 617-779-7937. We got all your feedback there. We are going to check in, and Mark and Medford, if you're listening, we're going to check in with the Razor.
The Razor.
Andrew Raycroft, a Bruins nice. Thursday here on WEEI. We'll get his thoughts.
When you think about businesses that are selling through the roof like Aloe, Allbirds, or Skims, sure, you think about a great product, a cool brand, and brilliant marketing. But an often overlooked secret is actually the businesses behind the business, making selling and for shoppers buying simple. For millions of businesses, that business is Shopify. Nobody does selling better than Shopify, home of the number one checkout on the planet and the not so secret secret with Shop Pay that boosts conversions up to 50%, meaning way less carts going abandoned and way more sales going. So if you're into growing your business, your commerce platform better be ready to sell whenever your customers are scrolling or strolling on the web, in your store, in their feed, and everywhere in between. Upgrade your business and get the same checkout experience as business powerhouses like Alo, Allbirds, and Skims. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast to upgrade your selling today. shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
This is the secret story of a young Russian oligarch who hacked his way to a $93 million fortune. I'm CNBC's senior Washington correspondent Eamon Javers. In our new podcast, The Crimes of Putin's Traitor, I'll take you inside a shocking Russian crime targeting the American financial system. Attacks that sources tell me were welcomed by Vladimir Putin's government. Listen to CNBC's The Crimes of Putin's Traitor free on the Odyssey app.
UC Soros pitches the shutout. The Nashville Predators pick up their first win of the season for the Bruins. They'll return home after a 1-1 road trip.
Jones and Keith, you're on WEEI. It's Thursday, which means it's time to talk to the Razor. Andrew Raycroft of Nesson, he joins us here on WEEI. What's up, Razor?
Good morning, gentlemen. Not much. All good.
What's going on with your Bruins? Not exactly a great performance the other night. Jim Montgomery's job security called into question. Some of the offseason moves are under a microscope. How are we feeling about the Bruins to start the year?
Well, yeah, it certainly hasn't been smooth sailing like the 10-0 starts we've seen the last couple of years. I think the NHL, unlike probably all the other major sports, the start of the season has more premium. I think NHL teams know if they get off to a good start, it's really hard to recover points. And I think the Bruins have put a lot of pressure on themselves to have a good start. And the fact that they're 500 is far from disastrous. It just doesn't feel like it has the last couple of years. And of course, there's a few points that I'm sure we'll get to that they're trying to work through and clean up as soon as possible.
Yeah, what's going on with Marchand and Montgomery?
Well, I don't think there's anything going on personally there. I think, I mean, we've seen Monty's an emotional coach, and in that situation on the road with a 1-0 lead, he didn't like the turnover, and he let Brad know. And I think Brad, as the leader of the team, as a guy who's been here for 14 years now, understands that he's just like any other player. So I think that I've never heard that there's an issue personally in any way. I think Monty was upset with a player who made a bad turnover, and I'm sure everyone's okay with that.
So the visual, though, the other night, mm-hmm. I guess I have less of a concern personally about, you know, Monty giving him a tap on the shoulder pads or whatever it was, or a shove, if you want to call it that. But Marchand looked like a player just tuning his coach out. I mean, that's how it looked to me. Like, it looked like Marchand couldn't be bothered and couldn't care less. So that to me just speaks to, or looks like, a coach tuning a player out.
I saw it as a guy who has played a long time, probably going to be a Hall of Famer, frustrated with himself and knowing, like, guys don't, you don't talk back to the coach, especially in that situation. I can absolutely 100% assure you, and I don't know, I wasn't on the road trip, but I have full confidence that they have had a conversation about the incident and talked about it and smoothed it over. And like all teams and coaches and players, and especially ones that have the status that Brad does, you talk through these things after the heat of the moment's gone. And again, I'm sure it's water under the bridge at this point.
And, you know, we've seen Montgomery fired up before, and that did seem a little bit different. And I'm just wondering, is it the lack of a contract after this year? Do you think that would affect Montgomery? I know the team is off to a slow start, but is it sort of a little extra frustration because he knows that, you know, for his job status, he needs to turn things around this season?
I think it's more just where the team is. They haven't really played great, and they're 500, which is completely fine. Everybody else in the division is essentially 500. There's a couple of teams that have run out 5-0-1, but the reality is most of the league is 500 right now. Everyone's trying to figure who they are and what they are and get into the season. It's still October 24th or wherever we're at right now. So I think his frustration is coming from maybe the lack of scoring and the fact that they haven't really got to their game as four lines. They've had a couple lines that they're really trying to figure out. They're moving a lot of pieces, and that can stress a coach out. And that, for me, that's kind of where I look, that I think he just wants to, you know, a lot of expectation on this team, and they understand how important starts to the NHL season are, and the sooner you get to your process, and the Bruins haven't done that there's a little frustration there.
Andrew Raycroft and Nesson here on Jones and Keefe on WEEI. Joins us every Thursday at 11:30. How do you feel about lame duck coaches in general? You've been in, you know, dressing rooms, you've been on teams around the league. How do you feel about the lame duck coach in general? Because as much as the Bruins say they want to keep Jim Montgomery, he doesn't have a contract yet.
No, he doesn't. I don't think the players, I've never thought about it. I mean, thinking back to my career, I don't think I ever knew what my coach's contract situation was. And you know, quite frankly, didn't care. I don't think the players care in any way whatsoever. You're trying to, you know, like, professional sports is really hard, right? Like, you start worrying about the coach's contract or what you are.
But it's not just his contract, though, right? It's, is he going to be here? Like, how hard am I going to play for this guy if he's going to be gone anyway? It's less about, like, his contract and what he's being paid, and more about, well, how much longer am I playing for this guy? How much longer do I need to listen to him?
Yeah, no, I never played for a coach. I played to feed my family and stay in the league, and you know, I understand that you know it's fun to make a distraction out of it, and I'm sure deep down somewhere Monty thinks about it, and I'm sure the Bruins, Don Sweeney and Cam, have talked about it as well deep down. But the reality is there's games every other night, and you got to find a way. So as a player, I don't think you're thinking about, you know, who your coach is or what their contract situation is. It's about, all right, how do I play better? How do I get on the score sheet? How does our team win? How does our power play get better? How do we break out of our zone better? And how do we beat the Dallas Stars tonight? I know it's not a fun, like, talk radio answer, but it really is the truth when you get inside the room.
What do you think of some of the new line changes from the last game and what looks like it'll probably be tonight as well? Is it the top line of Marchand, Lindholm, Pastrnak one that you like, or would you prefer to break those guys up?
No, I like it right now. I think I want to see, you know, I want to see some more offense. I think it kind of, moving Zacha to the second line and having him in the middle with Matty Patra, I think that could open up a little creativity, a little more offense. I think that moving Brad to that top line might actually deepen some of the offense throughout the lines. Again, kind of to that front, like, something's got to click. Other than the fourth line, something's got to click here. And I think, again, that's where a lot of, I think, the frustration's coming from. And hopefully the lines that we see tonight are, you know, get a little bit of a spark for both the individuals and the offensive group together.
Independent of Marchand and Montgomery the other night, how has he looked to you, Brad Marchand, on the ice?
He looks like a guy who didn't start training until middle of August. Looks like a guy who's trying to find his timing, trying to, you know, settle the puck at times, not really bouncing his way, and he's just trying to work through it. Never is compete or hard work or effort question with Brad Marchand, but I think he looks like a guy who typically works out all summer, typically gets on the ice all summer, and had to delay that this year. So, again, I wasn't expecting anything out of Brad until, you know, middle of November, to be quite honest, just in how hard it is to ramp up and get going again after having three surgeries in the offseason.
What about Swayman to this point? He's played five of the seven games. How do you think overall he's looked?
He was awesome. Those last two games, especially the game in Utah, could have been, you know, that could have easily been a no-point night and a 3-4-0 loss. I think, you know, you talk about him and the holdout, of course, the storyline and worrying about his start, and he's been the exact opposite and proven why they wanted to get him signed, and they want him on an 8-year deal. So I think he's been great despite losing 4-0 on the road, and he's only going to continue to get better timing and feel more comfortable.
So it's a big game for the Bruins tonight. You get the Dallas Stars, and you are part of an alternate broadcast, is that right, with Tuca and Bergeron?
How about this?
Yeah, we got a big night over at Nesson in the studio, so we've got unobstructed views that's piggybacking off what the Red Sox and Nesson did in the baseball season, and we got the big heavyweights. We got Tuca, and we somehow convinced Patrice Bergeron to sit on the couch with me for a game as well, so it's going to be fun. I've got some pressure on me to kind of move things around, and
I didn't want to point that out, but I feel like there's a ton of pressure on you. Yeah. I mean, you're the media guy. These are two, like, you know, former players. We know for being players. You were a player as well, but you've been in this media thing a long time now. So I think when that red light turns on, there might be crickets from those two. Like, you're going to have to move this thing along a little bit.
I know. And they keep telling me, it'll go. You just have to talk. But I'm feeling the heat. So. Yeah. So maybe like some of the Bruins players or coaches, I'm feeling the heat tonight, and I got to get a good pregame nap in this afternoon to be ready.
Oh yeah, get that going. That's important. Yeah. To be well rested. Have you like, I don't know, like watched any of the other alternate broadcasts? Like have you
A little inspiration from
exactly.
The Manning cast or
Belichick on the Manning cast? Yeah, you mentioned Karabas and the Unobstructed Views. Like, have you dabbled in any of that?
Yeah, I checked out the Unobstructed one, Nesson and Karabas, but I do typically flip over on a Monday night to the Manning cast for a quarter or for 10 minutes. The good news is we're all in the same room. That's going to be a big difference rather than that Zoom on the Manning cast. So the three of us are there. We're going to have a guest tonight in the second period. He's coming in to sit on the couch as well. Another
mystery
Stanley
guest?
Cup winning player.
Mystery
guest. I don't know if it is or not, but I'll just keep it mystery for the sake of this phone call.
How about just between us? Just me, you, Keith, and Rachel.
I'm already watching. You don't need to tease me anymore. I'm already watching.
Yeah, I think I think McQuaid is going to come in. I think Quaider's coming in on the couch for a little bit. So
Darth Quaider.
It'll be. Darth Quaider is could be in the mix. So
nice.
Again, we'll be live and in person together. So I'm hopeful that adds to our chemistry rather than zooming in.
I love it. Beats the new play-by-play guy. But that's really not important. I am excited to watch this though. This will be a good breakdown with these guys. I'm excited.
I'm glad. Thanks for being excited and pass on the word and
no
we'll
problem.
Try and do a good job.
All right.
If you see the fear in my eyes.
Yeah, just look.
Go to commercial.
If you're looking for talking points, if you're looking for talking points, it's just like fire Montgomery.
Yep. Oh yeah.
You know,
hot seat.
Hot seat Montgomery. Marchand hates the coach. Uh-huh. Hey Tuca, how come you never won anything? Bergeron, how come? Hey Patrice, how come the team went further without you last year? Like that sort of stuff. Like if you're just looking for talking points, I gotcha.
Yeah, that's the best way for me to be one and done.
Yeah.
That'll be perfect. You know, I won't have to worry about the next one if I...
That's true. No more pressure after that. Well, Razor, we appreciate the time. We'll talk to you next week.
You got it, guys. Thank you.
All right, thank you. Right. So Nesson Plus and Nesson 360, you can watch the Altcast tonight at 7.
Merci, Patrice. You can get that tonight.
Yeah, he might do half of it in French. Who knows?
Yeah, you never know. He drove all the way down.
I thought the mystery guest would be like Michael Ryder.
I didn't know.
Like
I didn't know.
Heard from
dude, McQuaid,
McQuaid
just beat the snot out of guys.
Oh, yeah.
McQuaid was intimidating out there.
Good mullet, too.
Yep.
Real nice mullet.
Nice head of hockey hair.
You know, I feel like we broke news is what I feel like we did here.
You think so?
Yeah.
So credit Jones and Keith with the McQuaid
credit
news?
Jones and credit. It's going to be Adam McQuaid on Nesson
for
tonight.
For asking a cringy question.
Yeah. to a Nesson host.
No, but he is right. This will be significantly better than the Manning cast because those guys are all in different rooms. There's a delay. Sometimes they cut out. Like this will be, they're all in one studio. They're all mic'd up.
Do you agree that Marchand video the other day, like
I thought it was more than we've seen from Montgomery.
Well, for sure.
Yeah.
But like to me, Marchand looks so checked out. It's not even like I get what Razor's saying where it's like, you don't want to clap back at the coach. I'm not saying that.
No.
There was zero reaction. He even turned to him and was like, I know, like, my bad. There was nothing. It looked like when your wife is yelling at you.
Well, it's one of those, you know.
It looked like when your wife is yelling at you.
If you can't say anything nice, don't say anything at all.
I don't want to hear it anymore. That's what it looked like.
I think part of it, though, is he's just so frustrated with himself. I mean, he hasn't scored a goal yet. Like,
maybe.
That situation.
Or maybe part of it is, you know, the coach who hasn't gotten his contract yet. And, yeah, yell at me because you're going to be gone in a week. Maybe there's a little bit of that going on, which is what it looked like to me. But what do I know? 617-779-7937. Okay. We got into a little bit of a debate there with the Bruins. How about a nice debate, Keith, on Halloween candy?
Yeah, this is a big one. It's tearing my house apart.
It's ripping the Keith household apart. Yep. We'll get to it next. Jones and Keith here on WEEI. Real quick, before we get to the Halloween candy debate, tearing apart the Keith household.
Mm-hmm. Sleep on the couch last night.
T's and P's to Keith's marriage.
Yep.
I'm just catching up on a few notes from Alex Van Pelt, who spoke earlier this hour. We're just talking to Andrew Raycroft. If you missed any of that, it's up now on the Audacy app, AUDACY. Get it on your phone. You can take it with you wherever you go. We'll have that posted on YouTube shortly. Just subscribe to WEEI. Two quick items. Number one, he was asked about the receivers taking care of their bodies off the field and kind of alluding to...
Was that a food question?
Yeah.
That's an odd question.
What a dumb question that was.
Related to Kendrick Bourne's criticism of the younger wide receivers.
What did he say?
He said they got to work harder, rehab harder.
Work is the short answer.
We can give you a longer version.
All right.
He also was asked about Kayshon Booty needing more targets.
Yeah, what did he say about that?
He said the defense dictates where the ball goes.
Okay.
Added they have plays dialed up for certain players, and that does include Kayshon.
All right. Okay. Yeah, he's probably like, he's been in the league such a long time, and receivers talk, receivers want the ball. That part's not new by any stretch. But seeing a group that has done so little be so vocal, he's going to be like, his head's going to be spinning. Like, why are you guys the way that you are? What do I have to deal with this every day at work?
Good point. Like, Amari Cooper was one thing. I get.
Right, you want to get Amari Cooper the ball?
I get Amari Cooper demanding targets. Sure. Kayshon Booty was a little off my radar.
Huh?
KJ Osborne demanding trades. I wasn't ready for that.
Yeah, he's just.
And
like,
in fairness to Alex Van Pelt,
every day he gets in there, some intern's like, hey, did you see what so and so posted on Instagram? He's like no.
Oh, come on.
Do I need
Tyquan Thornton? Yeah.
Yeah,
so
yeah, he posted a Michael Jordan meme.
In fairness to Alex Van Pelt, who we're scheduled to talk to tomorrow,
yeah.
I will give him that. You know?
100%.
Don't love the play calling. Don't know how well cut out you are for the job, all these things,
no,
but
that's
that'll
fair,
get you.
But those are
unexpected brush fires that who could have possibly seen that coming?
Well, Gerard Mayo has said, you know, this is the hand we've been dealt. And he might have been referring to Van Pelt, but Van Pelt could use the same line.
100%.
Like, this is
the hand I was dealt.
This is brutal.
Okay, Keith.
Yeah.
What is the debate? Tearing apart the Keith household.
So my wife picked up some Halloween candy the other day as we're getting ready for next week.
You've already went out and purchased.
Well, my wife did. So my wife,
as a household, you're starting to stock up already.
And I feel like,
because I get nervous you get it too early and start eating.
This is a blind spot for her.
Yeah.
I feel like she does a really poor job at buying the candy because.
Oh boy.
But again, it's one of those things where it's like, well, she bought the candy, so like, how much?
Mm-hmm.
So she brought these like Skittles, which I like, but they were like Skittles gummies. I'm like, we're giving away Skittles gummies at this house? Like, we're going to get egg.
Give me an idea. How much foot traffic do you get? How much Halloween foot traffic
do you
get? You
know what's really funny is, like, it's been all over the map. You know, because we were there before 2020. We were there for 2020, then after. Mm-hmm. So some years, pretty heavy, I would say. Like, we get through all of our candy. And then a couple of years, it was a little bit lighter. So you need several bags of candy. And so she also got, like, a variety pack later on. But so I made a comment about the Skittles gummies. I'm like, this is insane.
Like, what is this?
Like, we're gonna get our mailbox like knocked over. Like, nobody's gonna want this stuff. And she's like, yeah, that was like, I was like,
people are gonna be making fun of the kids at school.
So,
you don't need that. Yeah.
What I really complained was a couple of years ago, she got a million bags of like blow pops. I go, you can't give these away. I'm like, this is a Halloween candy. She's like, these are great. Like, the kids are gonna love these. She's like, they don't want like just chocolate. I'm like, I'm with you on that. But that's where like Starburst and Skittles and Sour Patch Kids come into play.
Sweet Tart.
I don't need a lollipop that then ends with gum.
Yeah.
That's the last thing I need.
I
got a mouthful of gum. I can't eat any more candy.
Best of both worlds.
It's the worst of both worlds. You can't cross the streams. I don't like blow pops anywhere.
So how did that go? After you gave out blow pops, you were just finding them all over the neighborhood?
They're everywhere.
You'd just be like walking all over the neighborhood. You'd
lawn,
be like a
covered in them.
Lawn, mailbox.
Yeah, it's like gum stuck all over everything.
Jammed like the exhaust pipe of your car. So then,
lick them and stick them to your car.
So I'm like, all right, I'll settle this once and for all.
Uh-huh.
Like, I'll go to the people.
Yeah.
So I tweeted yesterday, settle an argument for me. Are blow pops a good Halloween candy?
Mm-hmm.
So people weighed in.
I voted in this.
It's closer than I thought.
Really?
However, no, it's not a good Halloween candy is in the lead.
Okay.
58.2%.
Oh, that's come down.
It was in the 60s for a while. When I voted,
it was in the 60s. Yes,
when I thought it was 61.39.
I voted
61.39.
No.
So big blow pop.
I saw it. Yeah.
Big blow pop people have gotten wind of this poll. Well, they've added a few percentages. Uh-huh. So 58.2 to 41.8. I don't think it's a great candy anyway. I think it's significantly worse at Halloween.
So if you were going to buy
gum,
if you were going to buy Halloween candy
for
your household, which I'm sure your wife would say, well, the money you go out and buy it, why am I the one buying it?
Yep.
But if you were going to buy it, what would you buy?
Reese's Cups.
Yeah.
Or Snickers.
Yeah.
Or Three Musketeers.
Yeah.
That kind of thing.
Chocolate bars.
Chocolate bars, probably.
I'm not trying to hand out. I get it. I understand
Twix.
What your wife is saying. Like, oh, not everybody wants chocolate, but that's what we're going to hand out in the Jones household. You're going to get chocolate. You're not going to get your Sour Patch Kids and your Star. Not in my house.
I'm not mad about that though. Like, if you come home and you know little Cece and Georgie dump out their buckets and their Sour Patch Kids and Starburst, I'm like, great.
Yeah.
I'll eat those.
Yeah, you're just going to get that from the rest of the neighborhood though. You're not going to get that from my house.
Billy and Nick, where do you guys weigh in on blow pops?
No, I don't think Halloween.
Correct.
Right, blow pops.
Correct.
Simple as that.
And if you were trick or treating,
the Halloween is to get through as much candy as he possibly can. I don't want to stop and eat a blow pop.
Yeah,
I want to just pound Reese's cups.
Time commitment. You're sitting there with the blow pop for like a half hour, and then you're like, now what do I do with the gum?
Right.
Chew the gum for a while?
Yeah, I think if I get a lollipop, I'm thinking like the bank, if anybody still goes there. Or like
a dum-dum.
Yeah, or like the dentist's office or something like that. Don't they usually hand out candy, ironically, afterwards? Or they used to?
No.
Is that not a thing they do anymore? Is it the doctor?
The doctor.
I feel like we used to get dum-dum somewhere.
The sugar-free lollipop.
Is that what it was? Yeah, you'd get, maybe it was the doctor, not the dentist. Maybe
when you get your hair cut.
That's true. Lucas gets a haircut, you get a little dum-dum. That's true. Yeah.
The bank has like those ones that are like the color with the plastic rip them off.
I like those.
I'll grab one of those.
Yeah, I like those. I don't know what's up there. I don't even know what those are, but
it's like
I like
a pen
those.
And a lollipop.
But I wouldn't want
that green.
I wouldn't want one for Halloween though.
No, it wouldn't really fit. So yeah, come to my house. You get some Skittles gummies.
Those don't sound so bad.
Is there no variety?
We had a bag too of like all kinds of other stuff. So like the other bag's not as bad because I think I kind of maybe shamed her about the blow pop thing. So now we got like I think like Twix and. There's a Kit Kat commercial right now. That's another good one.
Kit Kat is one the older I get, the more I like.
Well, we can tier these next week if you want.
You want to tier out some Halloween candy? I think we all know where the Patriots are going to wind up. We did the NBA last week, so yeah, let's tier out some Halloween candy.
We can do tier two. Tier two
in the blow pop tier.
Blow pops will be on their own tier, maybe. Keeps House 2021
non-Halloween candy. Keeps House, that's a good one. Yeah, no, we don't get a lot of Halloween. It's
you
funny.
Guys don't get many.
Well, I don't live very far from a previous place I lived in Charlestown where we were like
slammed,
swamped. Yeah, and it was like you couldn't even like go inside to get the bucket. You'd have to be like, bring more candy and dump it in.
Yeah, hurry up.
So it never stopped. This my current place. No, I don't. We get hardly any foot traffic. Like I'm going to buy Halloween candy, but we're going to eat 90% of it. We're not going to give out much Halloween candy.
No, that's pretty good. So one buddy's in like a town that like the adults give out like beers to like the other adults that are walking around. I'm like, oh my God.
Nice.
I'm coming down there. That sounds amazing.
What is New Orleans? Mardi Gras?
Yeah, I guess so.
617-779-7937. You can jump in on, the debate that people are talking about, certainly all across Keith's household. Are blow pops a Halloween candy? And we'll tear out some Halloween candy next week.
Hell yeah.
Let's get back into Gerard Mayo. We'll circle back to some of these comments from Alex Van Pelt. More issues in the Patriots locker room. How do they deal with them? Next.
This is the secret story of a young Russian oligarch who hacked his way to a $93 million fortune. I'm CNBC senior Washington correspondent Eamon Javers. In our new podcast, The Crimes of Putin's Traitor, I'll take you inside a shocking Russian crime targeting the American financial system. Attacks that sources tell me were welcomed by Vladimir Putin's government. Listen to CNBC's The Crimes of Putin's Traitor free on the Odyssey app.